If you can get to, if we can get to Ganav Mishal Avi v'Tavach L'Machar, that would be good. So again, I'm not going to pile on things for you to look at. There's not that much really to zero in on anyway, but Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph to Ayin Aleph Amid Beis, if we could go to the two dots, if possible. And of course the Gemara Rashi Tosis there, and the Rambam. And just to add one or two little points on the question of Shlichus, B'tzvichu Mechira, we pretty much did it last year, those who were here last year. So we're not going to repeat the larger discussion. I meant to just spend about 5 minutes. How are you? I may spend a couple of minutes just reviewing some of the basic issues, but and maybe adding a point or two about Tzvicha Mechira specifically. But again, we should be familiar with the Rambams at least. The Rambam Hilchos Geneva Paragim Halacha Vav, and the Rambam Hilchos Me'ila Parag Zayin Halacha Beis. Again, last year we spoke about it at length, and the Mishnah Lamelech in Hilchos Geneva. As well as the Ksos and the Sivas in Reish Tzadi Beis Sif Katan Aleph, Sif Katan Aleph, yeah. Which is again the question of Tzvicha Shlichus and Tzvicha Mechira when it's mixed in with another Aveira. That's what happens if I make you a Shliach for Tzvicha Mechira on Shabbos, or let's say you choose to do the Tzvicha Mechira on Shabbos. So is that a problem of Shlichus and Dvar Aveira? Not again last year. It was part of a much bigger discussion, but it comes up. This is one of the sugyas in which this appears. Also, Ganav Min HaShutfim v'Tavach. Take a look also at the Tosas and Tosas Rid. If we get to Gonev Mishal Aviv, I don't think we'll get there tomorrow. Gonev Mishal Aviv, the Balei Tosas, which we already talked about, and the Tosas Rid. Okay, I don't think we're going to get beyond that. I guess when we come back after Pesach, so we'll speak a little bit, we'll still have to do a little bit, whatever we don't finish up of these topics, but most of it we I think we'll be able to go through quickly. But it's a little bit about Chul and Bazara and Shkita Sheina Ru'uya, but mostly after Pesach, I want to pick up with the Mishnah on Ayin Beis Amid Beis, the issue of Hazama. And the Sugavet Zomeim L'Mafreya and Mikanu L'Haba, and we want to get to through that Sugya and a little bit of Hakhasha, the Sugya of Hakhasha Tchilas Hazama, as well as Toch Kedei Dibur. That's really what I want. I want to get all that finished before we end the Zman. So that's these two Dapim, Ayin. That's the basic plan. Ayin Beis Amid Beis through Ayin Dalet Amid Beis. Then that leaves us with, in terms of the Perek, we've done most of the big topics, but we still want to do one more topic. I don't know if we'll be able to get it in then. That we'll do it in June. That's the issue of Moda B'Knas. Moda B'Knas Rachach Ba'Wedim, the Mash Mishin Ubayin, that whole issue. And then that'll pretty much be most of the parak, because Kachem is Be'ah, Kachem Be'ah Kabayis we did. Again, there are a few other things to add in the Shaka Vataria, but at least we will have covered the Ayin Tesem and Aleph, we pretty much did. That'll be most of the topics of the parak. Okay, so that's the general plan. So the next few days, we'll try to get through what we can, and let's begin now. Zvi, you want to... If you don't mind. Oh, I should add just one more thing. Just two horas quickly. Regarding the Gemara and Sanhedrin... Number one, I said that obviously there are two issues that have to be dealt with in that sugya. One is the question of davar v'lochatzi davar, which we discussed extensively. The other is each and every application, how it works, whether it's kibbul shanim or saros or tzvichot mechira or ishus and nesuin or ishus and arayos. So with regard to the sugya there in Sanhedrin, the two phases of Zakei Mamre and the relationship between Geneva and Mechir, between Betzor Mora, I think I said that the other time as well. I always think of them together because they're part of the Dalit Tzrichim Hachraza. But the two phases of Ben Sorer Mora and the question of Gneva and Mechira. So just on that point, with regard to the two phases of Ben Sorer Mora, that should be connected also with, we discussed a little bit last year, I think, I'm trying to remember why, but the Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim discusses this question in Hilchos Mamrim, tries to figure out why it is that the Rambam Rambam mentions the requirement that you check the child prior to the implementation of the Chiv Misa, after the Gemar Din, to prove that the child is not yet a Gadol. The Rambam says that that's required, but the Rambam doesn't mention the same requirement when it comes to implementing the Malkus, even though had the child been a Gadol at phase one, you also would not be implementing Malkus, because it's still a Din of Ben Sorer or Morah who can't be a Gadol. Why is that? So Reb Chaim has a discussion. Part of his discussion is exactly this question: what is the relationship between the two phases of Ben Sorer Umora? Is the first phase, initially wants to say it in a very clear-cut way, first phase is the Chiyuv Malkus, like other Chiyuve Malkus, Losamod Losochal Al-Adam, and it's basically an Iser, albeit one which is linked to the Gavra, who has the potential to be a Ben Sorer Mora L'Chiyuv Misa. Whereas the second phase is really a din in Ben Sorer Mora itself, not just the Gavra Ben Sorer Mora, but these are the din of Ben Sorer Mora, the capital case. And then he kind of backs away from that in the second formulation, but continues to suggest that there are chilukim between the two phases. This would be very important to, again, just like the Baal HaMor was trying to explain, why is it that even according to Rabbi Yochanan that Geneva Tchilas Mechira, you don't say that phase one in Ben Sorer Mora is Tchilas phase two. So again, the Baal HaMor said because the Yisro so, but in light of Reb Chaim, you would also just add this whole analysis, and that is that, without phase one, there is no phase two, but phase one may be either more routine Maisa Veira, or even if it is a special halacha on Ben Sorer, but at least, either way, we're talking about two different phases. With regard to Gnevas Nefesh, and the relationship there between phase one and phase two, So there's an article by Rav Lichtenstein, I haven't seen it in a while, but I know it's in one of the Beis Yitzchak from way back, from the 60s, I think, in which he wrote about Gnevas Nefesh, and I think he focuses, again, I just didn't have a chance to look at it, but I think he focuses on this sugya specifically, in the question of Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar. He may have a larger discussion of Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar, I'm not, again, I don't recollect, but I know specifically in terms of the relationship between Geneva and Mechira, whether these are two halves, whether they're integrated, you know, which side of the integration is the dominant one. I just recall that he has a discussion based on this sugya of Davar L'Chatzi Davar on that issue as well. Finally, Yosef Bronstein mentioned to me after Shu yesterday, we were talking about the sugya in Gittin. I was suggesting that the machlokas between Tosus and Gittin and Tosus in Bava Kamma may be very important machlokas, either in terms of davar v'lo chatzi davar, relying on other factors other than edus, or whether this is viewed as edus, or more like a riot studis or an ansadi, whether the edim shetachas yad, edim achsumim tachas yad ashliach, is that considered edus? Or, I was suggesting a third possibility, which is that even if it is edus, maybe since it's edus, which is interpreted by the balashtar, who is the Shliach, and was only able to be the Baal HaShtar because of that Edus Rishona, so by definition, one might say that that is not Chatzi Davar, that's Edus Achas, because the Edus Shnia wouldn't be subject to the category of Edus if not for Edus HaRishona. That's my preferred suggestion of what might be going on in this particular sugya. So Yosef mentioned to me afterwards that, again, the whole last part of the shiur, I was trying to develop the idea of Kabbalah Seidus, and that might be the key to understanding Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar. How do we file, how do we perceive, how do we accept the Haggadah Seidus? Do we say it's Tchila of a process? Do we say that it's in a capital case, or it's a Malkus case, and so on and so forth? So later, what I was suggesting that is the key to reading the whole sugya in Sanhedrin, in light of all of that, so he made an interesting suggestion at the end, and that is, maybe one could say that Eidus Bishtar is never a problem of Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar. Because the problem of Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar is a Kabbalah's Eidus problem. So in a way, Eidus Bishtar is Eidus B'li Kabbalah's Eidus. That's the whole point. There's no Drisha of a Chakira. That's Reish Lakish. Eidu Maksum Mal Shtar, Nasa Kemishon Echkara, Eidus on the Bezim, particularly as Reb Chaim understands it. Again, there are different formulations of this. Even within Reb Chaim, if you look at the very complicated piece in Minuchas Eidus, where he talks about Mipim Vlo Piksavam, right, and other places, but at least one could argue that Eidus Shebishtar, part of what's unique about it is that it's Chalos Eidus, Beli Kabbalas Eidus. So if the problem of Davar V'lo Chatzi Davar is a Kabbalas Eidus problem, maybe it's never a problem, Shtar. So that would be another way to explain why Shtar Yotze Mitachas Yodo does not constitute Chatzi Davar, but constitutes the potential for Davar Shalit. I think it's an interesting suggestion. Okay, now let's move on. Let's go ahead to the next topic. Particularly, so what happens here exactly?
Case where you
need
potter, so they say that
because of Kimilabin. Yeah, case of Kimilabin. And what specifically is going on? A coach to Eina Mitaina Siva Tikli Gneva Secha.
The Lokeach tells the Ganon, I'm over to take Tina and through taking Tina, there will be some sort of Kinyan going on.
That will be the Kinyan that will complete the Mechira. And therefore, the Mechira is Kimilabin Rav Amine. And therefore, it's not Mechayib Dalad Vehei. Because even if the Geneva wasn't a violation of Shabbos, but the Tzvicha Mechira, well, Tzvicha always, but the Mechira in this case will be. Okay. So how does this Kinyan work of Akots Te'ina Miteina Si? So how does Rashi explain it? So how does it sound like Rashi? How does it work?
It sounds like it's Shabbos.
Well, you said Shava B'Shava. Where does that terminology even come from? What do you mean Shava B'Shava?
Well, I mean, it sounds like the team are serving as payment for the...
Sounds like Kesa. So that's the view of some Rishonim. Other Rishonim don't like it. The Tosafot of Parents in Shidduch Kometzes doesn't like it, because he says, we paskin that you need Meshicha, not Kesef. So this is an interesting issue. Because, again, Tosfim and Peretz, therefore, excludes this, although it seems to be a simple reading of Rashi. This Pashtus of Rashi, this is Shava Kesef. So there seems to be an interesting debate here regarding Tvicha or Mechira. Second. Again, Tosfim and Peretz, is Tosfim and Peretz? Yeah, Talmid Rabbeinu Peretz. De'i nasan la te'ena b'toras damim mos einan konos. That's the Rabbeinu Peretz. Again, in my Shidduch Kometzes, it's 239, column 1. But if you look at the Ramah, also in the Shidduch Kometzes, page 240, column 1, next page. Shamina miha gana v'machar v'kibel damim v'lo mashach lokech es mikcho. In the continuation of the Gemara, Kivin de Midaraisa Mos Konos Afagav de Takin Rabban and Laliknu Mechira Havu Meshalim Tashlume Dalad Behe. So it's an interesting machlokas whether or not the Dindra Rabbanon that Mos Einan Konos, based on the Gzera Shema Yisru Chitecha Balia, does that impact on the Daraisa of Mechira to be Mechayev Dalad Behe or not. Okay. It could be a question in general about the nature of that takana, whether it's based on hefker, bezin, hefker. Does it just mean that you can't act upon the bailus, or it means a real really mafkia the kinyan mikol v'kol? That's one possibility. Or this question of Tevicha Mechira might be the issue, and it might be related to the larger questions that we've discussed about Tevicha Mechira. Again, if all you require in Tevicha Mechira is that there be a Maisa Mechira, and Chalos Mechira is less significant, that's certainly the case according to the Mandamar Shana Bechet. Whether it's true according to the Mandamar Ahani Maisa or Nishtarish Bechet, as we pointed out, that seems to be a machlokas of Rishonim. Some Rishonim are of the opinion that Nishtarish Bechet or Ahani Maisav is focused on the actual impact of the Chalos. Others think that Inochanami, Shana Bechet, the idea behind Shana Bechet, which is Maisa Mechira, might be sufficient to trigger Dawud Behei. The only thing is, if there's no Chalos, if it's not effective, if he doesn't really have the Bailus to do it, that's not even considered a Maisa. That's why you need the Nishtaresh or the Ahani in order that it should be considered a Maisa. So if that's the case, then you might say that the Daraisa, even if Midrabanan, there's no Chalos at all, but would you say that there's no Maisa? Right? And if there is indeed a Maisa, that might be gauged by the Daraisa, there might be Tvicha or Mechira. So this is an interesting argument, both on what is the impact of Kinyan Ma'os la'achar atakana, A. B, what do you require for Tzvicha Mechira, how much effectiveness, and how much of a formal Maisa Mechira. Either way, that's the discussion in the Rishonim. The Bali Tosis didn't understand it the way Rashi did. How did they understand it, Tzvi?
So the
Bali
Tosis,
what? Yeah. And that's where I assume you got the terminology that you used before. Because if it's chalipin, why did Tosis avoid the simple pshat, which is shava kesef? Undoubtedly, like Talmid Rabbeinu parents say, because post takana, it doesn't work that way. One would think if that's the idea. So instead, they assume that this is operating on the basis of chalipin. But if it's chalipin, then you have the problem. Tosis asks, peros lo avdi chalipin, right? Not lo nasa, but lo avdi, right? So if that's the case, then how is HaKotz Teina Miteina Si working here? So what's the answer? Tosk has two answers. Second answer is Inochanami. It doesn't work midin that, but it works midin... the question is whether it's Matana or Mecher. What is he attempting to accomplish here? So that's more of a technical answer. The first answer is more important. In the name of Rabbeinu Tam...
which is that there's clothing issues, so there, which would work. But if
you're clipping
the
Torah's
Dhamma or
Shavashava. Shavashava, because then you get. If it's Shavah Kassif, you get back to.
No, he
says Torah's Dhamma Kani for a rain time. Shavashava means Torah's Dhamma Kani. Yeah, so what does that really mean? Torah's Kinin Suda, doesn't work. Right? Ella Kinin Biyama, Avo Bi Mechava in Lahakna Zet Tachaze, Shavah Bishava Bitorah's Dhamma Kani. What does that mean? Not Shavah Kassif.
But.
Yeah, it's a special kinyan. This is Rabbeinu Tam's famous shita, that there are two chalipins. There's a chalipin which is totally a formal kinyan, which Reb Chaim understood at least is based on pure das, where even though there's technically a maisa of some sort, but the maisa doesn't really, is not the mechayev at all. The whatever it is that you do with the object is just a way of concretizing your das. That's kinyan sudar. And then there's something else which is very, very close to Kesef or Shava Kesef, but isn't really Shava Kesef and Kesef. It is a kind of exchange or barter. It's a kinyan of barter. And that's how Rabbeinu Tam understood the Mishnah in Kiddushin, Kol Anisham Damim Ve'acher, this idea that, you know, when you pull one, you automatically acquire the other. That's not a kinyan das. It's an exchange or a barter, and it's the idea of Shav B'Shava. And Rabbeinu Tam is Mechadesh, that the din of Peril low of the chalipin, right, is limited to kinyan sudar. It doesn't apply to shav b'shava because it's about exchange. It's barter. Why can't you barter peros? To focus your das on a symbolic kinyan sudar, for that peros doesn't work for various reasons. But if you're actually exchanging, that would work. What is shav b'shava according to Rabbeinu Tam? What's the criterion? What constitutes shav b'shava? Again, it isn't damim. He says, B'torah is damim. He means, but what is it? Do you know? It's not so clear. I mean, what constitutes Shom B'Shava? What's the shiur? The actual value? I think we mentioned it this year. We certainly mentioned it last year. Those who were here. Avi? What is the, according to many versions of Rabbeinu Tam?
Double.
Right, we mentioned last year when we talked about Right, we're talking about different levels of pricing, right? And what's a complete tos, what's within the range, etc. According to many versions of Rabbeinu Tam, Shom B'Shava is defined by half or double. That's within the range, as long as it's not it and itself. In other words, two of it. So that's considered within the range. Now, that's not a pricing range per se. I mean, for that we have shtus and so on. But that's the definition of Shabbat. There you can talk about a barter and an exchange where I'm ignoring actual value, but I am at least exchanging items, objects. It's, it's a quid pro quo kind of exchange absent value. That's the difference between Shava Kesef and Shava B'Shava of Chalip. Shava Kesef or Kesef is about actual value. Right, you're getting a be'en for value. Here you're talking about exchanging or bartering two be'ens. So there are two differences. There's the presence of the be'en and therefore the downplaying of the actual corresponding actual value in the case of chalipin. This idea that according to Menatam there are two chalipins and that affects peri is very important. There's discussion in the Rishonim whether according to Ben Tam it affects all the dinim, Peres La'avdi, Peres La'nasa. Are there any of the dinim of Chalipin that still apply? That's one issue. It also comes up outside of Rabbeinu Tam in the famous Ravid in Shittu Kabetzis in Bava Basra. Daf Mem, the Gemara there says, Kinnin b'fnei shnayim ein tzarich lomar ksovu. Kinnin Sudar is in the presence of two witnesses, and therefore there's no need for an explicit sivui to write the shtar. The shtar can be written automatically. That's a fascinating halakha in its own right, not for now. But as we know, there's a huge machlokas so Rishonim whenever that Gemara or the equivalent of that Gemara appears. The Bali Tosis always tell you, don't think this means that you need Eidei Kiyum for Kinyan Sudar, because it says Kinyan Bifnei Shnayim. Doesn't mean that there has to be, it just means that if you happen to have witnesses at the time of the Kinyan Sudar, so then you don't need a separate Sivui to produce a Shtar, but you don't need Eidei Kiyum on a Kinyan Sudar. Okay. But they protest too much. It's pretty clear that there are Rishonim that they are responding to, who read the Gemara, that in fact you need Eidei Kiyum for Sudar. And this is the view that the Ravid quotes in the name of the Gaon in Shittu Mekubetzes, and it's also the view that the Ravid refers to in Perek Hei Ilchos Mechira Halachates, when the Rambam also repeats this idea. The Rambam says, don't think that Kinyan Sudar requires Shnei Edim. Like in the rest of Dinei Mamonis, La Ibri Sahandi Ela L'Shakri. Purpose of Edom is Biror, like the Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Samachay Udbeis. So the Ravid says, Ein Hakol Modim B'Kinyan. When it comes to Kinyan Sudar, Ein Hakol Modim. Some people really do think that there are Edikim. So the Ravid records this view, which obviously was a view in the Rishonim, that Edikim are necessary for Kinyan Sudar. What's fascinating is that in Shinu Kabetzis and Bava Basra, he quotes a Deya that says, well, this might be true for the Kinyan Sudar type. But if it's shalaf ishnalo, if there's an actual shava b'shava, so then maybe even that rishon will not require any kiyum. So this would be another important distinction if there really are two types of chalipin, a formal symbolic chalipin where there's no barter exchange at all. It's just a way of focusing one's das on the kinyan at hand, on the commitment to go through with the transaction and with the agreement. That's the kind of kinyan that requires perhaps a dekiyum. But if we're talking about exchanging or bartering, even if the objects are not of the same value, but it's a be'en for a be'en, and again, it's based on that Mishnah in Kiddushin, you pull one automatically. It's almost like there's an invisible, you know, link. You pull one, the other one comes into you. You know, you pull this into your rishus, you know, it automatically pushes the other object into his rishus. It's pure barter and exchange. That idea will apply here for Avdi Chalipin. Some discussion about Peiros Nasa Chalipin, also about Madbeya, whether Madbeya Nasa and Avdi Chalipin, whether that will work in Shav B'Shava's discussion. And Shimon Kibetz says, Baba Masra, you have this idea as well, that when it comes to Eidei Kiyum, that will not apply to Shav B'Shava. Except that, again, there are different definitions of what Shav B'Shava actually means. In some versions, it's anything that is a ban, or where you're talking about keeping the ban. In other formulations, it's something which is between half and double the price. Yeah, Novi.
Is it enough of that Rashi is, if Rashi understood Chalipin the way Rabbi Natan did, is it possible to suggest that he was really referring to King Chalipin over here?
Here? Maybe. It doesn't sound, I mean, it is possible. But I you know, I think the language sounds like he's, again, either way, you'd have to relate to the question of Peir Lov, the Chalipin. As far as I know, Rashi doesn't hold like Rabbeinu Tam, so it's not as if you remove all problems by saying so. I think the language sounds the other way. It doesn't matter to me so much. Either way, I'm able to demonstrate that it's Machlokas HaRishonim on the question of the Kinyan Daraisa versus the Takana regarding Tzvicha Mechira. I'm more interested in the range than I am. But I think it is a simple pshat of Rashi, and since, as I say, you run into other problems, even if you hold that it's Chalipin, so I think it's not so simple either way. I think there's another issue to consider here as well, and that is as follows. If we were talking about Kinyan Sudar and not Chalipe Shava B'Shava, would this halacha apply in the Gemara? What do I mean by that, Jakey? Exactly. Would there be Kamle B'Draba Minei if the Kinyan that coincided with the Chiyuv Misa was a Kinyan Sudar and not a Chalipe Shava B'Shava? I think that's an interesting question to raise. Because if the Davar HaKona isn't the Maisa, but it's the Das, that might be a place to draw the line, as we'll soon see, in Kamle B'Draba Minei. In other words, basically, this is the mechanism which creates the result of Kinyan, but it isn't really a Maisa, and therefore it's not affected by the Chiyuv Misa coincidence, by the din of Kamle B'Draba Minei. So all I'm pointing out is that Tosis really requires for Rabbeinu Tam Shava B'Shava because of the halacha of Peiru Le'avdi Chalipin, but let's say Peiru was of the Chalipin even in Kinyan Sudar. It would be an intriguing question to consider whether or not, if we were talking about Kinyan Sudar as a real Kinyan Das, in other words, if the reason that we didn't make this distinction is because we felt the fact that it's generally Omeid Le'chazara, or that it's worth a very little amount of money, that it could be worth even less than a pruta, you know, that's all just misleading. But in fact, it's all shava b'shava. Okay, then obviously, you know, we're back to square one, we're back to saying the same thing. But I'm just pointing out, since Rabbeinu Tam does think that there are two types of chalipin, and let's assume that the contrast to barter and exchange is this symbolic das-oriented one, it would be interesting to know whether that wasn't also another reason why there wasn't Kamle B'Draba Minei here. Not only because La'avdi, but Peir La'avdi Chalipin, but in addition, that wouldn't be Chalip, it wouldn't be Kamle B'Draba Minei. I think that's an important question to raise. Okay. Good. Let's continue. Tzvi, go ahead. So first of all, the assumption here is that if you hold Kamle B'Draba Minei, that should affect not only the Chiyuv Bezdin, but the Shein Mechira as well. That seems to be the Hava Min of the Gemara. So getting back to discussions, again, I want to make this quick because I want to cover some more ground here, but getting back to discussions that we had earlier in the year, right, we talked about Sanhedrin Ayin Beis in particular and Ksuvas Daf Lamed Daled. So what we pointed out was that Kamle B'Draba Minei, in the broadest sense, can be understood in two ways. right? And within these two ways, there's also a lot of range in terms of the particular formulation. But the two general options, see? Or two general perspectives.
One is the overwhelming perspective that all of the other ones sort of
the Dine Mamonis part is overwhelmed or eclipsed by the Dine Nefashos, by the fact that the Dine Nefashos coincides with it. It almost like it doesn't register, or much of it doesn't register on the Choshen Mishpat scale, right? Or okay, but just general terms. Not so much that the action doesn't take place, but more about the implementation of the onesh in Bezdin or the carrying out of the bitzua al yidei Bezdin. It's a much more practical halacha, you know, that you're not going to kind of like a double. You know, we're not jeopardy. We're not going to charge you twice, or Bezdin's not going to enforce two penalties, or it's subsumed. But not that the mechayev at least doesn't take place. So it's just very fascinating that the Havamina here says that since if right, I mean, but the fact is that you did go ahead with the mechira. Namely, you took your akot to Eina Mitenasi, and you transferred over, you gave over the geneva. The Gemara's question isn't if you don't give the geneva over, so then, you know, maybe there should be no chiyuv dalad v'hei. That's not the Gemara's question. Gemara's question is, even if you happen to follow through as promised and hand over the geneva for the akotz teinasi exchange, even then it shouldn't be a chalos mechira to be mechayiv yudalad v'hei. So obviously this points in the direction that kam lebed rabba mine is not just about implementation. Right? If it's just about implementation, so if you choose to implement, one would think at least that it shouldn't be koveya regarding the shame mechira, and the Rajba says this explicitly, even though it's I think clearly implicit anyway. But the Rajba says it explicitly in the tshuva. Rajba in Chelek Aleph, I think Simon Shin Beit says that the Rami Bar Chama and the sugya, the Havamin and the Gemara, certainly is that Kamei Bid Rabba Mineh has this effect of not allowing the definition of the mechayev of Dina Mamanis, yeah.
The other way to take it, depending on how you take Zilshad Mechayev and the Lomrin Le Zilshad Mechayev Nafsho, unless you assume that really means that essentially there really is a chiyuv even on the Dina Yadon level, so we don't enforce it. If you don't assume that, if you say that basically it's based on Mechayev, or based on doesn't view it as being implemented.
Well, that Mechayev is a different...
We're not talking about here, we're talking about chiyuv, we're talking about Kenyan, but I'm saying that if you were to talk about it in terms of, you know, not implementing any sort of chiyuv, right. In this case, to give him the chayvet, so then you might say simply that there's no chalos. So even if there's a ma'is mechira,
there's no chalos mechira. Why is there no chalos mechira?
Because he's not able to keep the chayvet.
But he's not able to keep the chayfets.
He's
not able to demand it in court. So what we're saying is, if his inability to demand it in court is because technically Bezin won't enforce his claim, then that doesn't mean that there's no chalos mechira.
But I thought you were saying, I wasn't clear. Are you saying that it really shows us that there's no maisa mechira at all, or that there's no chalos mechira?
It doesn't really. It could be either one. What I'm saying is, what I was excluding was the idea that there is a maisa, there is a chalos, there's just not the enforcement of. I wasn't taking a position on the other two. What you need for the other two depends on the issue that we spoke of previously, which is, what does Dalet Behe require? The maisa mechira or the chalos mechira? Shana, nishtaresh, even within nishtaresh, which of those? And that's what we already discussed, the question of most konas. Okay. Yeah.
So also, just in terms of looking at it more, in terms of the insight it provides into Mechira instead of into Kimlai, the Charmsider reads, interestingly, it could be very easily read as that since the practical term sub, Mechira, isn't what happens because of Kimlai Rav Mineh, so there's no shame Mechira because
I mean, any Mechira that can't be enforced is not a Mechira?
Right. So the Gemara reads well.
Yeah, that's I was going to mention that also. That's the other that would be an internal mechira halacha, but then it would not be obvious that that would be true in any parallel situation. As you'd have to examine each, and as it wouldn't be a general rule about kimle bedrabmine, the fact that you can't force it means that there is no shame or no chalos. It would be something particular to mechira.
Right.
You'd have to say that mechira, the formal definition of mechira, includes a very, very pragmatic component. Namely, if it's not enforceable, then it's not a mechira.
Right.
As we'll see, because of the Esnan continuation, unless I say the same thing is true about Esnan, but Esnan isn't mechira, Esnan is matana. It's not so obvious that that an unenforceable, a pragmatically unenforceable mechira, not being a mechira, means that a pragmatically unenforceable matana is not a matana. Right? But and maybe this will, but maybe this will help us as we go forward. Yeah.
According to the suggestion of the Gemara, then how could we ever? How could the Mishnah and Mishnayos ever teach about kimle in a case of a mechira? It seems like the Gemara.
What do you mean?
It seems like the Gemara is objecting to the fact that we called it.
But here we need the mechira for in a formal way, for the purposes of chiyuv dalet v'hei. That's the problem.
Right.
So what we're saying is, if it's kamle bedrabmine and therefore formally it's not designated as mechira, so there'll be no chiyuv dalet v'hei.
Right. What I'm saying is, I guess that the Gemara seems to object to that that we shouldn't call it mechira because the mechira won't take place because of kimle.
Right.
Just as a practical matter, how would the Mishnah be able to convey to us the fact that that what happened here was an attempt at mechira other than calling it mechira? I mean, it seems like a strange.
No, because the Mishnah is telling us that there would. The Mishnah is discussing whether there's a chi of dalet v'hei. It's not the use of the term. It's the consequence. Will there be a chi of dalet v'hei or not?
Oh, sorry for the brisa. I mean, l'chora it's subjecting to.
I'm not sure which one. Let's go back. The hatanya patur,
mm-hmm.
Right? The answer is it's patur in a case of kimle bedrabim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Gemara is saying, well, kiven dechit krav kamadino le'omrino le'zil shlim ha mechira nami lav mechira hi. It's not just a tour; it's not even a shame mechira.
Right. But what I mean is that we end up giving end up answering Eslan Zona, but when
right.
we I mean
so we'll get to that in a second, right?
So I mean, but when would we ever have?
No, so at the end of the day, the Gemara is going to say that there is a shame mechira.
In Esnan Zona,
the only question is whether or not there is kamle bedrabmine. Well, we'll get to the 2 days in. Just hold off in a minute.
Okay.
We'll just get to the 2 days in a minute. Okay, but so far the Gemara is asking, this shouldn't even be defined as mechira because it's completely eclipsed. So then it doesn't become a question of chiv and ptur anymore. It's just not a shame mechira.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the idea that kamle bedrabmine will affect the shame mechira bespeaks of one of two things. If it's a more universal idea, it bespeaks of kamle bedrabmine's greater scope and impact on what we call eclipsing, right, or overwhelming. Or what Svi said a second ago, which is that one could have said, this is a special din of mechira, that mechira's formal definition depends on being able to force pragmatic enforcement. And if you don't have pragmatic enforcement, then you're lacking the formal shame mechira also. That would be another way to look at the case. It's going to be hard to sustain that in the Maskana, according to Bali Tosis, anyway. But not impossible. Okay. Elam Rav Papa. Oh, so what is this? How does it sound?
Because now the
name
is going to be by the
Tokeach. Zrok Nevusech Lechatzeri. The Tikne League Nebusech, so we'll have instead of a coat Teinami Teinosi, how's this better? Okay, good. Come on, Krabi Kiva. Kana.
Oh.
Yeah. Now this is a little bit of a chiddush, I thought. Why? Particularly gnevusach ad shetanuach. I mean, no one disputes it, so apparently it's correct. But what is a little bit of chiddush about it? What might one have said?
Well,
Is this comparable? If you hold like Rabbi Kiva, Kut Kamishu Huncha, so you really have the kinyan and the violation kiyachad, right? Otherwise, you have to delay the kinyan in order to achieve the simultaneity, right? But is it so obvious that if you artificially delay a kinyan, that constitutes kam levid rabba mine? Meaning, kam levid rabba mine depends on the chalos kinyan or the maisa kinyan, or that's one question. When you say any kone achatanuach, are you redefining the maisa kinyan, or are you just delaying it?
The
maisa kinyan here would be the chatzer, kinyan chatzer. Right? No, your kone through kinyan chatzer. So if the chi of misa and the chi of chatzer are bevasachas, naturally, that's a classic case of kamalei rabamine. But the Gemara says you can also have kamalei rabamine if you delay the chalos kinyan by saying eini kone adjetanuach. I'm just saying, is that so obvious? I mean, there are two questions to ask here. One is, when it comes to kamalei rabamine, the interface between the mamon and the nefashos, does that depend on the maisa or on the chalos? Right? Just for the same reason that I asked before, or that Jakey asked before, you know, is it so obvious that you could have kum lebed rabbanei in kinyan sudar if it isn't really a maisa kinyan? So too, I'm asking now. Let's say you have a maisa kinyan, but you artificially delay it. So the coincidence isn't with the maisa; it's with the delay. So it could be that one could have argued that there's no kum lebed rabbanei in that case, or maybe the conclusion to be reached. So the conclusion is one of two to be reached: either the chalos, not the maisa, is koveya when it comes to kum lebed rabbanei. Or that when I say adja tanuach, what I'm doing is it's like I'm stretching out the maisa. Okay. But either way, it's not so obvious. One could conceive that people would argue this point, even though in this Gemara no one is challenging it. It might be a reason to say some of the other alternatives. And the halacha, whether we accept it or not, might be open to question based on these harms. Okay, let's continue. Oh no, before we get to that. So that's the Gemara. Here, the Rishonim are bothered by two questions, which I want to speak about briefly. Go ahead. One is the first one. We come on, Rabbi Kiva, tell us. Could you show him? Chayev. Kiva the matel aver chatzero chayev. Comma. Chayev lin Shabbos. You're right. Sorry. There's just a yachid al lav arkiya, so that's the chi of Shabbos, right? I mean, it has to go in the imaginary lines of the mechitzos. It has to go in the box of the mechitzos, the imaginary box. So therefore, what you have here is, again, no simultaneity. You have the chi of Misa preceding the chi of Mammon. Go ahead. Kerebucha begitin bazorek. Okay, so what kind of answer is that? Yeah, technical answer. Now, the question, some of the question is accepted, which is that there's no kum lebed rabbanei without simultaneity. The answer is there is simultaneity. Simultaneity because he throws it through, not over. Fine. Not the best answer in the world, but I mean, what can you do? This question sounds like a strong question. So there is another answer in the Rishonim. Saad?
No, I mean, I have a possibility.
Which is?
Which is that the Shabbos comes from Kinyan, so the Kinyan Shabbos is ongoing.
Oh, who says it? Oh, you didn't see it. Who does say it? You're absolutely right. Meaning, all we know in the Gemara, what the Gemara says, is that the Kinyan Mamon cannot precede the Kinyan, the Chi of Misa. But how do we know that the Chi of Misa cannot precede the Kinyan Mamon? Or we don't. That's why this is a very, very important issue. Who says it?
That was the Yad Ramah.
The Yad Ramah says it?
We had that Yabama back in.
You mean Sanhedrin?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not. I'm if im kvar az kvar. If you're going to say the Yabama, you might as well say Rashi and Tosas.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that in a second. But if you're going to do that already, but we'll get to that in a second. What? Tosas Rosh. Correct. You have the language. I think I have it here. I gave the piece to look at in Shita Bukubetzes. What did you say, Ephraim? Something about?
In the Ketzos.
Yeah, I told you to look at the Ketzos. What about the Ketzos?
He doesn't like this idea.
Correct.
The Sikul Kufa and Ephesh Vaseyah and the Mishnah and Arach.
Yeah, correct. Very good. So, again, these are the Marmakos I told you to look up. The Tosa Rosh here and the Shach and Sma in Simin Shun and Ketzos and Shin Nun base. And the Rashash here as well. Again, the Shita B'Kubetzes, again, the Tosa Rosh here is clear about this. And you really, Kivin D'Chiv Misa Asi Kodem Chiv Tashlumin, it's very, very important. Kivin D'Chiv Misa Asi Kodem Chiv Tashlumin, Potter. Kinamin L'El, Kigon, Shehitz B'Gufa Shalabed, Upotter Agadi V'Agadish. Quoting the Gemara earlier in Bava Kamma, actually it's a very, very important sugya for this. We're not going to go into that sugya right now, but the sugya of Mamun, you know, Mamun Lazeh and Nefashos Lazeh. That's important for that sugya. So if you have Chiyuv Misa before the Chiyuv Mamun, that's basically the Chiyuv Mamun cannot proceed and come by the Rav made the Chiyuv Misa. But if they're either they coincide or the Chiyuv Misa precedes the Chiyuv Mamun, then you'll say come by the Rav. That's what the Tosa Rosh is saying here. Aval keshechiyuv misa ba kodem kol hezek shiyase ba'osa malacha potur. That's the Tosa Rosh. If you look at the Rashash here al atar, who has the Rashash open? Rashash says this Tosas is against Tosas in Sanhedrin. Could have said Rashi and Tosas in Sanhedrin. You have it, Ephraim? Go ahead.
The Chora Sosrim is Atzmam, the Masha Kasvu, the Sanhedrin Ayin Beis, but Dira Maskam Estabra, the Afilu Shiber Acharkach Potter.
Yeah, hold on 1 second. So what is that about? That's what I was referring to my response to Michael a second ago, which is, we all know the Sugin Sanhedrin and the difficulty there, which is that Rav and Rava argue whether or not, when you have Kimile Bid Rava Mine Machteres, and then you have the Chepetz HaGanupah Gazel in your hand, whether or not you have to return it or not. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin defined base. And it seems like even Rava, who says that if it's a be'en after the machteret, you have to return it, but it seems from the Gemara that if you destroy it after that, that you're potter. So how can it be that you have the chefetz, you have to return it, you have the chiyuv v'heshev v'sagzeh v'shagazal, and now you throw it in the river, and you're potter? How could that be? But Rashi and Tosas and the Balamor and the Rama, right? All read the Gemara that way. And the Ravid, they all read the Gemara that way. Only one who doesn't read the Gemara that way is, across the board, is the Ramban. Ramban Machamos, as we explained, rereads those Gemaras. Oh, it's talking about a situation where, you know, in one fell swoop, right, you take it out of the Machteret, or in the, really the Shabbos case, you do the Kinyan Shabbos, and it goes punked right into the river. That's what happens. Correct? So that's the Ramban's rereading. What forced the Ramban to reread it? Because he said, Tavra v'shasya. If you have a Chiv Ashava, so then how could it be that if you destroy it, it's not Tavra v'shasya? But we're left with a very, very severe difficulty for Rashi and for Tosas and that sugya. And as say for the Balamor gets out of it by saying, as we already discussed, the well, you don't like the Balamor, you're not so comfortable with that Balamor, but that it's only Drabanan, that Rav is Drabanan. I mean that Rav is Drabanan, sorry. That this is Daraisa, but Rav is Drabanan. I mean that Rava really agrees with Rav and HaTorah. He holds that you really don't have to return the Be'en. Since you don't really have to return it, it's just that it's, you know, it's just a, it's a badge of shame, right? You're going to walk around, you know, in your lapel with the chefetz haganav haGazel, you know, and display it for all to see. thumbing the convention of proper behavior. So that's the Din Rabbanan that says you have to return the chayfetz. But fundamentally, you're kona the chayfetz by means of the kinyane gnevo gzela and the kam lib drabim mina at the moment of the onset of chiyav asha, as we discussed. We're not going to repeat that. That's what we discussed. That's how the Baal HaMor reads, even though Tzvi at the time points out correctly that the continuation language of the Baal HaMor is very difficult to read. But okay, that's the Baal HaMor's answer. Baal HaMor, on the other hand, basically agreed with the Ramban, which is this seems to be untenable, because if you leave the Machteret, so there's no longer a Chiyuv Misa, why should the new Chiyuv Mamon not generate a Chiyuv? Okay, so for Rashi and Tosis, we suggested at the time several solutions, including one based on the Yad Ramah. Right? The Yad Ramah had made the point that you can't compare Tavra Vashasya, which is a question of the price going up or down, to Kimle Bidraba Minei, which is a Ptur. But the way we explained that was, it's a Hafka of the Kinyane, basically the idea is that Tavra Vashasya is a stage 2 Gneva, means it continues from stage 1, and if you cut off stage 1 at its roots, so then, in terms of Chiyuvim, then stage 2 doesn't get off the ground either. That's how we explained, right, the Yad Ramah. And then we pointed out that maybe the Ravid in Kasav Sham, who's Mechalik in this question Gufa, between Iser Olam and Iser Shah, between Machteres and Iser Shabbos, Ravid says, the evidence about the continuing impact of the Nefashos on the Mamonos is in the Shabbos case, not in the Machteret case. All the Rishonim are assuming that it's all one and the same, and you could just, either you have to assume both are Patur or both are Chayiv. Not so, says the Ravid. Machteres is Iser Shah, and therefore anything that happens after the Machteres is over, you're Chayiv for. There's no continuing impact of Kamblei B'Drava Minei. But when it comes to Iser Olam, like Shabbos, that there the impact continues even after that. But we explain the Yad Ramah that's because, again, Tavra Vashasya is stage 2. It all still has to do with what took place in stage 1, how much of the original Geneva was affected. Right? What about Kinyanim? What about the Maisa, the Mechayiv? What about Chiyuvim? Etc. That's how we explained it. But the Rashash is suggesting, and this is really the Ksos's understanding as well, that in fact Rashi and Tosis in Sanhedrin are operating in a totally different way. It has nothing to do with the particular dynamic of Gneva and Hashava and Kinyane Gneva Ugezela or Tavar Vashasya being a continuation. No. All the things that we said, set them aside. Really, there's another machlokas Rishonim going on there. And that is it true that Kam Leib Rabine really requires simultaneity? Or just means that the Mamon cannot precede the Misa? But if the Misa precedes the Mamon, so then you say Kam Leib Rabine. That's what the Tosa Rosh says in our sugya, is exactly what Tosas and Rashi mean in the Gemara there in Sanhedrin. That's how the Sma and the Shach are interpreted here in Shin. What did I say it was? Shin Nun Beis? Shin Nun Beis Aleph. Shin Nun Aleph Beis? Shin Nun Aleph? Okay. So it's Shin Nun Aleph. Right, if you look at the Sma and the Shach, that's what they seem to be. That's what they seem to be saying. The Shach. Avalim ibdo achakach, tzorchiyun minaleha, ubetur lesa, elagabi machteres, mishun de miyad shehoyotze, mi machteres, sulo mechayiv misa. Aval hacha yeshlomar, kivin adayin omed, bechiv misa de Shabbos, potur kishe ibdo. The Shach, like the Ravid in the Kasav Sham, is mechalek between Shabbos and machteres. But not necessarily the same way that I explained at the time, namely the impact on the original Geneva. Now, this is the same question that we're discussing now. It's Kimmel and Rabbi Minei, an eclipsing action which precludes definitions or Mechaivim, or is it just about Bezin's enforcement or subsuming Onshim? So we explained at the time, Gufa, that might be the difference between Yisr Olam Yisr Shah. The Rabbi gets that distinction from Havamin to the Gemara and Ksuv Islam and Dalid. He thinks that it's wrong in whether there is or isn't Kamal Ibn Rabbi Minei, but it's right that there are two types of Kamal Ibn Rabbi Mineis. So the Shach is saying something very similar, but instead of the impact that it has on Maisa and Kinyane and Chiyuve Gneba, he's saying with regard to the question that we're discussing right here. But the way the Shach is explaining it is as follows. In the case of Machteret, so it's an Isur Shah. He doesn't use the word Isur Shah, but basically is what he means. Meaning, it applies, it's a cloud, you know, that is hanging over the perpetrator, right? But one could add, there's no chiyuv misa, right? Once he gets away from the machteret, it's gone, it evaporates. Shabbos, on the other hand, you violate an isur misa, you have to answer for it in bezin. It's a chiyuv. This reflects another and maybe more basic chiluk, as we discussed. It could be that machteret isn't even a temporary chiyuv ronesh. Machteret is a heter, right? Whereas Shabbos is a chiyuv. And maybe that's the reason why when it's gone, or when it's over, it's gone in one case and the other lingers.
And why would you be able? Why would it be there while? Why would, if he breaks it while he has his chiyuv? He said it's not really a chiyuv, it's just a heter to kill him.
No, that's a different question. So maybe that you'd still have to say that in light of the Gemara, that there is still a difference between Yisr Shah and Yisr Olam in the way in which they were. But even in Yisr Shah, if the actual coincidence is, maybe there are two dinim in Kamalim Rabin, that's what you have to say.
It has to be something to God, it can't just be something to have to kill him. There has to be some status, otherwise.
Or again, the Maisa is such, the Maisa which allows for a Chiyuv Misa is one which is loses its Choshem Mishpat standing at that moment. In the context of having the heter misa, so at this moment it's not mechayev mamon, but it doesn't mean the maisa didn't take place. I mean, I think you have to say that either way. I mean, it has nothing to do with the shah. In general, that's true. If you assume machteris isn't a temporary chiyu but a heter, we discussed it at the time when we talked about the sugya that's one of the chidushim. Okay, bedamim kaninim, right? So the But what Shach is saying is since the chiyuv lingers, but again, the Shach is going to end up like the Ravid, in fact. But I think the Sma says it by Machteris as well. Second. The kol shel abal of chiyuv misa v'chiyuv tashlum in yachav chayiv. The kanami kol zman she'akisim amos u'be'en b'shus tamar v'lo chal chiyuv. It's one view. Or bechalinim patam l'shalim tamayu demiyad shehotzei kitz chayiv misa, but lo poka minei ha'isur v'sulo chal lav chiyuv mamon. Kiven du chayiv misa de kamle ben rabbi minei. V'chein kol kiyotzu bazeh betur kasav kegon abo b'machteres. So the sma applies this to both. In any case, the ksos here in Shin Nun Aleph Sifkot and Beis is very bothered by this. He quotes the whole sugya and Rashi and Tosas, and then he quotes the Balamor. He says, "Barisi tamo shodavar mevuar b'Balamor." The reason, the explanation of Rashi and Tosas is the Balamor. The Shach Kasav Tzarchian Minalaha Betuleisa Ela b'Machteres Mishum Diyad Yosef Machteres Sulo Mechayv Misa V'Lachi Yeshom Akivin Adayin Omid B'Chiyuv Misa. Quotes the Shach Ad Kal Neshono V'Chein Kasav B'Drisha. The Inonira says the Ksos. The Vadai Misha Chilu Shabbos V'Yakach Shiver Kalim L'Kula Alma Chayev. Afagav Dadai Nomen B'Chiv Misa. Kiv B'Chiv Misa Shenes Chayev Kvar Avra. U'Mishlo Shlemi Per Kama De Erchen Hayotzu Lihoreg V'Hizik Chayev L'Shan. The guy's on his way to the gallows. He's marching happily to the gallows. Whistling a little tune. And on the way, he does a little mazik, for good fortune. Right? So the halakha is chayiv l'shalim. Hari dechiyav misa ain't a patur. Ela b'shas ma'isav lo achakach. Ela tamad rav b'shaya. The sphere like a shita saramban. The medina lo kodi kashu be'en and so on. So basically, the Xos is asking two objections. Number one, is it conceivable a guy is mechal Shabbos, and then at some point he's shover shiber kalim, so he's patur? And Harai, it's not so. The Mishnah in Erech, the Rashash, you had it open, also quotes these. Go ahead.
Dome de mamon loze unafashos loze. The ain tosus ksubos lamina mabes deeper maskal of ashi.
So the Rashash, at least partially, you know, the question is like, if you're gonna say this idea, right, that chiyuv misa kodim chiyuv mamon is still kamale bedraba mine. So the question is, you know, where do you draw the line? Guy has a chiyuv misa on his record, so he can go around be mazik everybody's mamon. So what are you going to say? It's limited to, let's say, Shabbos. So it's limited to the Yom of Shabbos. So the Rashash says, the Mitzareif is, let's say, you do the act of Hezek on the object, right, that you only have access to, you have the line again one more time, because of the Iser Shabbos. That's the Mitzareif.
Right.
As opposed to, read the previous line, as opposed to the case. And that's the Yotzei Lehareg as well. As opposed to the case of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where you stole an object, right? And because you stole it, you have it. And now that you have it, you throw it in the river. You're mazikin. That's the Mitzarev. Now the Tosfos, if you look at the Tosfos Rosh in our sugya, he circumscribes the Mitzarev even further. Right? The language is Aval kishachiv misa ba kodem kol hezek shiyase ba'osa malacha potur. What's our case? You do a zrika, which, if you hold a Rabbi Akiva, is kluta kamisha hun chadami, and then on the, and right then and there, if you were to freeze frame, you know, the chi of misa, there's no chi of mamon, but as it continues its flight, right, it eventually reaches the imaginary box of the kinyan chatzer, the mechitzas ha'odfos, etc. And only then is there a kinyan chatzer. So that's where the Tosfos HaRosh says that we apply the din. It's one maisa. Of course, it's still a bit of a chiddush. If already you consider it to be one maisa, so one might have thought that it doesn't matter even if you reverse the order. But let's say the opposite. Let's say you do a maisa, zrika, and it comes into the box of the chatzer, and you don't like Rabbi Kiva, and then in the end it lands. And when it lands, Kishur Tanuach, even the Rabbanan against Rabbi Kiva will say that you're chayev. Tosfos HaRosh says, no, that doesn't work. It's not one integrated maisa ke'ilu that is bevasachas, which we'll soon see, the issue of, which we're not going to get to today, but we'll start with next time. Tomorrow we'll start with Akira Tzorech Hanacha. Rather, we're agreeing that there are two different moments. But since it's mitzurav to the same mice of the same balacha, says the Rosh, if it's already, the balacha is already colored by the misa, the dominant eclipsing reality of chiv misa will destroy the definition of chiv mamon as long as it's mitzurif as part of the same maisa, even if it isn't actually alpidin, simultaneous. But if you have the other direction, you start with the chi of mamon. Since it isn't simultaneous, so it's on the books. What are you going to say? It goes away, it evaporates because of the chi of misa. That you won't say. So it turns out that the Tosa Rush is saying something very, very specific to this case. If you ask the Tosa Rush, is this the pshat in Bava Machteres, the Achakach Shiber, he may very well say no. The Rashash is drawing the line. If the Choshe Mishpat came to you because of the Chi of Misa, that's a Mitzarev. Even though it isn't one Maisa. You still look at one in context and Mitzuraf of the other. He's going a considerable step beyond, in my opinion, the Tosa Rush. The Sugyan Erchin, one could have said that there's even a further point, and that is, it's the Chi of Misa isn't on your head at all anymore, in a way. I mean, you're Yotzei L'Harig, but once it's a Gemar Din, so instead of being Mechuyev, you know, you're Mechuyev Misa because of Bezdin now. Not because of the Misa. Almost like the discussion we had about Mako's stuff, Hei Omed Aleph. So if the only evidence is Erchin, again, the Ksos assumes that if you say, the Ksos assumes against the Tosa Rush and against the Rashash. The Ksos says, on Shabbos, you did Borer. Okay? So now you're allowed to go out and take an axe and break somebody's car? Because I don't see why you could do that. And he's certainly right. No one would say it. Right. That's what he's accusing the Shach and the Sma. In a way, there's something nice about that. Meaning the lingering, I don't mean nice doing it, I mean nice about the idea. Meaning the lingering aura of Chilul Shabbos, is something that you can't escape from. Although it has a very unwanted kula here. But the Ksos is saying, is that what's going on here? But even if you were to think that was true, I would argue that the Mishan Erchin is even a giant step beyond that. Okay.
There you never have a sack beast in to sort of shift the weight of the Misa on it.
Maybe. But I thought the reason he was bringing up Chayvei Misa Shogi in is also because, again, this whole idea only works if it's a eclipsing. And one of the best rayas of eclipsing is precisely Chayvei Misa Shogim Pturin Tarad Bechizki. Because there's no implementation or subsuming or enforcing problem. That's why I thought he was bringing it up as well. But rather, it shows this eclipsing idea in very, very strong force. Also, the connection to the Suga of Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh points in that direction. Because Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh, again, if you're talking about enforcing, subsuming, so Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh shouldn't be a problem. Right, because you have two different clients, two different addresses. But if you take the Kamleb Drabmine eclipsing view, right, so it's quite possible, not Mukhrak, but it's quite possible that applies even in Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh. It's in the context of discussing Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh, by the way, that the Ravon, in the beginning of the ninth parak of Bava Kama, also says this idea. Did I write down where it was? Page number, but right at the beginning of Goz Leitzin. And I think that's, again, not coincidental, because this idea works very well according to that perspective. Okay, so you have here, just to sum up, a huge Machlokas Rishonim. Do you need simultaneity if Nefashos is first? Is that the pshat of the whole sugya, Baba Machteres, and Shabbos and Sanhedrin? We suggested plenty of alternatives, that has to do more with Tavra B'Shasya and Kinyane and Mechaibe and Chiyuve Gezela. On the other hand, you have the Tosa Rosh here, you have the Shach and the Sma, you have the Ravon, you have the Rashash, you have the Ksos. Meaning, number one, you can be Mechalek between Isur Shah, Isur Olam, Machteres and Shabbos, that's the point of the Shach, which echoes the Ravid, maybe for a different application. Then you have the question of the Ksos, who thought, if you hold this way, it should apply even in this Mishnah and Erchin, or it should apply when there's no Tziruf on Shabbos itself. probably he draws the line at Chol. Maybe the aura of Chilul Shabbos doesn't follow you past past Chol. It makes sense to be mechalek, like either the Rashash is mechalek, or even more so, say the Tosa Rosh at least says halacha only in this sugya, where it's one continuum, one maisa, even if it is two different zmanim. But then, according to the Rosh, just also to point out that it's interesting that it doesn't work in Mamon first, and then finally the connection to Tana Bechizkiya and to Mamon Lezen Nefashos Lezeh, Tana Bechizkiya in the Rashash, Mamon Lezen Nefashos Lezeh in the Ravon. I think worked very well according to this perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to be clear, so what we're saying is the fact that the Mamon doesn't work with the Mamon comes first is that essentially the what defines the act of Ritzicha or whatever it is, Maaseh Shabbos is not defined as such until you actually become Chayev, and then it becomes then.
I mean, if the Mamon is first.
Yeah.
Well, the point is that there's a moment where you have a Chiyuv Mamon.
Yeah, but you said that the Maisa, the eclipsing idea, so that the Maisa
right.
is overpowered.
Without the Chiyuv, either it's not defined. I think I have two things you could say. I understand what you're asking. Either you could say you're assuming that there is a Maisa Ritzicha or a Maisa in Fashos, just that there's no Chivon Shim until
no,
later
I,
point.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think one might say is that until the Chiyuv in Fashos, then it's not a Maisa.
I think that you could say one of two things. Either the Kama Drabme depends on the Chiyuv, even if there is already one integrated Maisa, or it's not considered a Maisa until you reach the point of
Chiyuv. If it's the former, then it becomes a little bit trickier to understand. The whole point of
right.
saying the Rosh's way is that.
Right, right. Right. But I think it's still, you could still explain both, but right, I agree. Okay, so that's in turn. Now, what we have left to do is, in terms of the course I already gave, which we'll pick up with tomorrow, is we want to speak about the other issue, which is Akira Tzorach Hanacha, as well as the final conclusion of the Gemara, Eslan Zon Asa Torah, Filu Ba Al Imo, and then hopefully we'll start Ayin Aleph Omen Aleph. Okay, stop here.
Amen. Yes, that's sort of what